Hey, welcome to Volcano Baked Meat. I'm Paige.
I'm Connor.
I'm Grant.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Jessica.
And this week we're going to be talking about female woman ladies. There are a lot of topics to talk about when it comes to women in video games, and we are completely ignoring, like, 95% of them to talk about female playable characters. What does it mean when you can play as a woman? What does it mean when you can't? For this week's opening question, I want everybody to name their favorite female protagonist who wouldn't be the first female protagonist someone would say if you asked them on the street, name a video game character who you can play as who's a lady. So no Peach, no Zelda, no Samus.
No Lara Croft.
No Lara Croft.
I was kind of torn on this because I had a lot of ideas. I mean, there's one which is always kind of been a personal favorite of mine, and no one really remembers her, but I actually thoroughly enjoy the character of Jade from Beyond Good and Evil. Which I actually still haven't finished, but I've got. I keep picking it up and playing it, and I get about halfway through, and then some life event comes up, and I drop it. But the whole time, I'm like, God, she's just so cool. I wish there were more Oh my god! Actually, I just realized she's a photographer. That's her whole thing. She's a photojournalist. My other favorite game is Pokemon Snap.
Wait, Connor.
Maybe there's a missed calling.
Connor.
In the past. What?
Who's your favorite superhero?
Spider-Man, who's a photojournalist.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, honey.
Oh, man.
I've never taken any photo classes or anything. Maybe I missed out on something.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did.
You're young. You can fix it.
The universe is guiding me somewhere.
So, while Connor thinks about his life choices, Grant.
Well, I was torn, but ultimately, I decided I think my favorite female character also actually happens to be the protagonist of my favorite video game. I went with Tara Branford from Final Fantasy VI. I think the thing that makes her a really great protagonist is just all the things that make her a great character in general. Interesting backstory, she goes through a significant change over the course of the story, all that usual textbook, good character work stuff. But what I think makes her really interesting and is what made her, and ultimately, as a result, FF6 kind of a big deal when it came out, is the, like, amnesiac, gets memories, learns about mystical past, and gets superpowers as a result thing, is usually the very male protagonist-y storyline in RPGs, and I thought it was kind of cool that it was like, why can't we have a female character go through that same arc?
Ladies can get amnesia, too.
Ladies can get amnesia and then develop superpowers as well. There's no reason not to.
Also, she cares about orphans.
She does also care about orphans. Like, she's just one of a handful of really awesome characters, and really, in general, and also really awesome female characters in FF6. Because you've also, the other big one would be Celeste, who's arguably also a protagonist of the game and also one of the cooler female characters in video games.
Okay. Jeff?
I would have to go with Ellie from The Last of Us. I know that a couple of people would give me some flack over that, because you're only playing as her for, at absolute tops, a third of the game, when the rest of the time you're playing as Joel, but I love the presentation of her, because the themes that she represents, how the youth are not as innocent as you think they are, they're strong, independent, they can do it on their own, in their own way, which might not be as effective or as quick or might not be as knowledgeable, but they can do it. And the whole theme of Joel protecting Ellie from the horrors of the world, or trying to, when in reality he himself is kind of one of the horrors of the world, it's just a very interesting theme that I feel speaks to a lot more than just, you know, the post-apocalyptic game world that they create. I found the sections where you play as her extremely compelling. As female protagonists go, she's the one that stuck with me the most.
Jessica?
So, I've actually got a couple of shout-outs here. My first one is for Faith Connors from Mirror's Edge. Just because, in general, that game was fascinating, right? Like, and I think I would have found it just as fascinating if I were playing as a guy, but there was something about the fact that I was playing as a quick, agile female character who was very strong and willing to go up against these crazy big things that just made her so much more interesting, you know? Similarly, actually, I haven't gotten too deep into this game yet. I'm still, oh god, I'm pretty sure I'm still technically in the tutorial sections. But Republique is like this smaller indie game where essentially you play by controlling cameras and unlocking doors. Essentially, you're hacking a system to help this girl named Hope escape kind of this evil overlord republic, right? Like, they're wanting to wipe her memory and turn her into somebody else. Again, haven't gotten too far into it, so I haven't totally figured the whole thing out, but she's this very young, terrified young girl who's, she asks some unknown person for help, but she's willing to do the work to kind of get out and help others. And that's as much as I've gotten from her, but it's really very interesting, and I am sold already.
By Republique.
It's a game we've only played the tutorial of. But it was fascinating!
There's a new feature. We'll review games having only played the tutorials.
That's how we, like, recommended Divinity to a ton of people, and now we haven't played it since, like, we played an hour of it. I think, for me, I'm gonna pick Aqua from Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. It was one of those games that was like the side games to Kingdom Hearts that seem like things you don't have to play but are secretly essential to the plot. And it's really interesting because Kingdom Hearts is a game where you play as Sora with his mostly male counterparts, where you rescue the seven princesses of heart who are pure and good and so every, you know, pure female stereotype. I'm not even kidding. So you're rescuing damsels in distress the whole time, and so when I was playing, you know, the main Kingdom Hearts game, I was like, okay, great, we have to save another girl. Okay, another one got herself kidnapped. Good job. And then we get to Birth by Sleep, where you play as actually the same campaign three times as three people, Terra, Aqua, and Ven, who are all training in the ways of the Keyblade. And they're all kind of chasing it after each other, trying to figure things out. Throughout the whole campaign, Terra and Ven screw everything up. They're like, choose a bad decision, and they made it.
Heroin?
They didn't get offered heroin, but here's how that scene would go.
I mean, darkness, like, which is the Kingdom Hearts equivalent of heroin.
Yeah, like, the scene would go, Maleficent would come up to Terra, looking very obviously Maleficent, and she'd be like, hey, you look like a smart young man. Have you tried this thing that would make you stronger and smarter and a better Keyblade wielder? And he'd be like, no! Do you have 100 coin? Yes! And then he'd do heroin. And then, like, Aqua would find him strung out in a, like, gutter somewhere. She'd get him to a halfway house. She'd, like, work him back to pure health. And then she'd, like, become another level of Keyblade Master while she was doing it. Because her entire campaign is going through seeing the things that the guys screwed up and fixing it as best she can. She is the reason that the world has not fallen to complete pieces. It's a prequel to Kingdom Hearts, so by the time Sora gets there, it's only okay because Aqua fixed things. And my favorite characters in anything are the ones who are efficient, who are smart, and who are competent. And Aqua is competent.
Alright. I can dig it.
Yeah. No. Okay, so there are a lot of people you can't necessarily play as in video games. Because one of the big complaints slung against video games is that you're playing as a 30-year-old white male with some stubble.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so we probably could do a lot of episodes about a lot of people who are underrepresented in video games, but women are literally half the population, and I still get a little bit excited when I get to play as a girl.
Yeah, I know that one. Like, on the other end, too, you're almost kind of upset when you see something that had a girl but for some reason doesn't anymore. Like, earlier we were discussing Assassin's Creed Unity and apparently how they didn't animate women for the multiplayer because
it was too
ladies
hard.
Are too hard to animate, which I forgot about that fiasco. I just wiped it from my mind. But similarly, I actually didn't play the Uncharted series for a really long time. Not just because I didn't have a PlayStation. But, like, I was actually, like, I did not like the concept. Because it was just a ripoff of Tomb Raider. And of course you're gonna have a Tomb Raider game starring a 30-year-old dude with stubble played by Nolan fucking North.
Nathan Drake is, like, the monolithic brunette 30-something dude with stubble video game protagonist.
It's true.
Yeah,
and
that's
they
really
took,
true.
Unless it's a scruffy blonde guy, and then it's Troy Baker.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do you know how stoked I was when I was a small child and the announcement for Pokemon Crystal came out.
Yeah, you can play as a
when I saw that tiny little blue-haired puffball of a person, I was the most excited small child, I don't remember how old I was, that you have ever seen.
I literally cried when I found out I could play as a girl in Fable 2.
Uh-huh.
Albeit, I became a beefy beast of a woman with the nastiest pigtails ever, and I was proud of them.
That doesn't make you any less of a woman.
I was so into that. I spent... What I later found out Connor and his friend did as a joke is exactly what I did. And I spent the entire time blonde pigtails beefing up my strength by building, like...
Blacksmithing.
Yeah. I was forging swords to get my strength up because I was a tough bitch. And you did it for fun.
Well, I thought it was weird. A couple of years back, I was a summer intern at Amazon and I hadn't played Mass Effect, so... Jessica, we were going to be roommates at the time, so she just loaned me her Xbox for the summer and gave me the Mass Effect games. So I spent a lot of nights that summer just playing Mass Effect, and so I wanted to talk about it to all my coworkers who had played Mass Effect 3 years before. But one of them looked at me and he was like, "Oh, you're playing FemShep. Oh, so are you one of the, like, why do you... Oh, right, you're a girl." Like... He thought I was, like, being edgy or, like, wanting to stare at her butt or just, like, being pretentious about Jennifer Hale's voice acting before he literally remembered that I was female.
And therefore you might want to play as a female character.
And then I might want to play as a female character.
That's ridiculous.
Failed his common sense role pretty hard there.
Which yeah. was later echoed in a Reddit post from all of, what, like, 3-4 months ago? Paige just sends me this link to this Reddit page where a guy was basically like, "I don't understand why people play as FemShep. Like, why would you even? I'm a guy. I want to play as male Shep." You just stated the reason.
Now wait, stop. Now we go back. You were
like, okay. I realize
you're onto it. You're getting it.
Right. Like warmer.
No, you're right. You're right there. You really are.
No, like. I realize he's not looking at a female when he's saying this. He probably thinks that when he goes on his computer place where people talk about video games, it's just him and a bunch of dudes. And I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't know, but I'm amused by it.
So where'd that accent come from?
I don't know. It's my "I'm making fun of you" voice.
Well, because all the ladies are on the lady Reddit. We're going to talk about, like, I don't know, whatever ladies talk about.
Doilies.
Sephora.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sephora.
Sephora
yeah.
and doilies.
Yeah, lady Reddit. And then,
Grey's Anatomy.
And the lady Netflix.
Oh, God, the lady Netflix. Jesus Christ.
Anyhow. No.
But yeah, so... And actually, like, I mean, even just to keep harping on Mass Effect, because actually Mass Effect is a really fun game to play as FemShep. Whenever, I mean, not to call you out, but whenever you guys talk about Shepard, you're always talking about Mark Meer.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, it was interesting, actually, because in all the promo material up until Mass Effect 3 with the reversible covers, but for most of the promo material, it was always male Shepard. Mm-hmm. And, like, the ads were always male Shepard, and the commercials and everything was always Mark Meer talking. And I thought it was interesting because just recently, a little while ago, to prep for Andromeda, they put out almost like a goodbye to the trilogy type video.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it was Shepard basically giving, and it was Jennifer Hale giving Shepard's last transmission. And, you know, she ends with, you know, "This is Commander Shepard signing off," and it's supposed to just be like a passing of the torch to whoever the new protagonist in Andromeda is going to be. So it was kind of interesting how that shift took place, where, like, at first they're like, "Well, yeah, obviously girls don't play video games, so we'll just use the male avatar for everything." And I think, like, as the series went on, they realized, like, oh, wait, people actually really like FemShep.
Well,
and so by the end, they realized that maybe they should use Jennifer Hale instead. And I don't know if that was a conscious choice, or if Jennifer Hale was just available and Mark Meer wasn't.
Well, even for Mass Effect 3, they started advertising a lot more with FemShep exclusively.
Well, not as much exclusively as it was they just had alternates, and they would maybe air the FemShep version first, but it was always the, like, there was always the two, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could watch the trailer that starred, you know, Mark Meer, and
here's
you could see the one that starred Jen Hale. I think they released most of them online at the same time, But I know a lot of people saw the Jen Hale one first, and others who saw the Mark Mirren one first, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, I remember when everyone was excited about it. The Jen Hale one was...
Oh, it exploded. I freaked out. I screamed. I'm very animated when women are big in video games.
But I think it's actually kind of funny, because I'll admit, I didn't... Like, I saw that same promo for Andromeda, and I didn't notice, because that's what Shepard sounds like.
That is Shepard!
Like, it stood out to me.
See, when I hear Mark Mirren as Shepard, I'm like, that's an impersonation. He sounds wooden and pathetic to me. I'm like, you're just trying too hard, well, you dick.
And that was actually something interesting that came up in that Reddit thread I sent Jessica about playing as FemShep, is it brought up all the different reasons people played as FemShep as opposed to MaleShep. Because my brother plays as FemShep because he likes Jennifer Hale's voice acting better.
Because who doesn't like Jennifer Hale?
She's awesome.
To be fair, I'm not a fan of Mark Mirren's voice delivery in that
game. See, I like it, but I also recognize that Jennifer Hale is a better voice actor because she's Jennifer Hale.
Well, and there's also a school of thought that they're playing a slightly different take on Shep. One is playing a more spirited, like, gung-ho Shep, while one's playing the better soldier Shep.
I mean, a large part of that comes from... Even though in the context of Mass Effect at its time, supposedly gender equality is a thing, at the time that it was made, let's face it, a woman had to try a little harder. So just her character is a little bit spunkier somehow, you know? Even if it's never implied that the reason is she had to work harder, right? It's just you get that sense because that's the context you're looking at it from. Mm-hmm. And that's the context Jennifer Hale looked at it from, too, right? You can tell in the way she delivers things, this is the character she has made in her mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And BioWare does it really interestingly in general. It also stood out to me in Knights of the Old Republic. Actually, do we care if we spoil Knights of the Old Republic?
Maybe
well,
a little.
We can be careful. Actually, really what he's about to say is that the characters that you play in as Knights of the Old Republic eventually play a role in the Star Wars world as a whole, at least before Force Awakens was rewritten. And because they play a part in the Force as a whole, like in the world as a whole, they are referenced as people outside of your avatars. But because they're referenced outside of the world, you can choose to be a male or female character in KOTORs 1 and 2. But when they talk about it in retrospect...
Oh, you're getting at something different than I'm
getting
at.
Okay, then never mind.
You're getting at something different than I'm getting at. Your point is actually more interesting, though.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so in KOTORs 1 and 2, you can play as either male or female character. But yeah, because both of your characters in both games are part of the main Star Wars canon, and Drew Karpyshyn actually went back and wrote a book afterwards that I heard didn't end up being very good.
And isn't canon anymore.
And isn't canon anymore, but at the time was... Both of those characters had canon genders. So it was kind of like your KOTOR 1 avatar is canonically male and your KOTOR 2 avatar is canonically female. Which I just think is interesting, as opposed to, say, Shepard, where the Mass Effect books always carefully walk around never referring to Shepard by any kind of pronoun and only having Shepard in the peripheral. I think Shepard's name is said, like, once at the beginning of the second book, and that's it.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they say Commander Shepard once or twice throughout.
But, I mean, that's not
Shepard. Yeah, but, yeah, Shepard's never in the forefront, and is always left ambiguous enough that it can always be your
it's
Shepard.
In those events with Shepard.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and I think I'll be curious when Andromeda is going forward, depending on Shepard's role in the history of the world, they might have to reference Shepard. And if they do, it's actually kind of cool because of the point in technology that we've reached. BioWare allows you to move your game data forward, and even if you don't have game data for Dragon Age, you could actually just go through a website and say what choices you made in a previous game.
You can do that with... You could do that with 2 and 3.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how... Of Mass Effect, that's how PS3 users were able to play.
Oh. Yeah, but the one
games.
For Dragon Age Inquisition is way more in-depth. It walks you through, and you can go down to every individual side quest in Origins and say, I did this in this side quest, I did this in this side quest. And you can completely recreate or create a brand new playthrough of Dragon Age Origins without having to play Dragon Age Origins, which is always good.
So
yeah.
It's nice if Shepard plays a role in the events of Andromeda. You won't have to worry about what gender Shepard you had. They'll probably just ask you, did you play FemShep?
Yeah, they'll probably do the same thing, where they'll go through and you'll say everything individually, and so then they can throw out random lines of dialogue.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That'd be a good way to do it.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, just to get back to the earlier point, that people play a certain gender for a certain reason. or even choose a gender within a game for a reason. Because, like, a lot of people who played Mass Effect, if you want to romance Garrus because he's your best bro, so you want to make out with your bro, you have to play as Femship.
I am really amused by that concept.
You live vicariously through Femship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're my best bro, bro. Yeah, you're my best bro. You want to make out, bro? Yeah.
Bro job.
I am deeply disturbed by that.
Mainly because he's all spiny?
Yeah.
No, if I was worried about that, I wouldn't have romanced him.
So, I just want to bring something up. We're talking about the reasons that any guy would want to play a girl or a guy differently. And
or why anyone plays as
a girl. I could play as a man if I wanted to romance Tali in Mass Effect.
I have seriously considered it, but I really hate Mark Mirren's voice acting.
Now, I want to go back to Mass Effect as well. I just want to talk about when I first played the game. I feel like I've mentioned, I might not have, I can't remember for sure, when I was first introduced to Mass Effect, it was my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of guys, a bunch of my friends, sitting at a lunch table talking about the game that I'd never even heard of. And they were talking about specters, and blue people, and abilities that sounded like magic, and I thought they were talking about ghosts and goblins or some shit. So
Quite the opposite.
But I first approached the game knowing virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. And at the time, because I was a 14-year-old kid who really had his head jammed pretty far up his ass, my idea of a badass character was this gaunt, sort of hollow, dead-to-everything, skull-like manifestation of death.
You were so cool.
Did he have stubble?
Yes, he did. He had...
Then you're not too far off.
The answer is always stubble.
Well, the thing is, the hair on his face was the same length as the hair on his head. Which, ironically, is how I look now. But, I created this horrifically scarred and disgusting human being, who, of course, I went for the Thorfinn backstory, where he'd done these awful things to get the job done, and blah, 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 blah. But for me, when I created the character in my head, it was a guy. And, as a result, even though I will acknowledge any day, Jennifer Hale is a much better voice actress than Mark Mirren is a voice actor, I definitely prefer the character interactions with Fem Shep rather than male Shep. For me, in my head, Shepard is this gaunt, disgusting skull of a human being. Therefore, Mark Mirren is his voice.
Uh-huh.
And that, for me, is why I prefer a male Shep in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I played through Skyrim, where you get to create your own character who has no voice, is a mute protagonist, and my favorite character is a lady. Just because I envisioned her as, going back to your Fable character, the big beefy chick with a sword and shield beating the shit out of everything.
Oh, that's...
And it was fucking awesome.
That's why I loved my Dragon Age character, because she was a Kunari, so the giant horn chicks.
There you go.
And I was so tall that the camera was never sure whether to show my face or my breasts when I was talking to halflings. Like, there was a huge, like, couple-foot height difference, and it just didn't know what to do.
Absolutely.
And she was an outcast from her people and from polite society in general, and she cut down everything and brought justice.
There you go. Mine was something similar. She didn't take no shit and killed whatever she wanted. It was great.
Yeah.
Similarly, I'm playing through XCOM 2 right now, which is a bit of a different beast, because you're controlling... You're technically the commander, who is, you know, this mysterious, all-knowing guy who's just a technical mastermind, or tactical mastermind, rather. But you have your squad, which you control at any given time. And I have a soldier in that game whose codename is Mama Bear. And she is a German grenadier with a giant minigun, and she is the heart and soul of my team... And I could talk about her all day. I don't feel right. Something feels off about the game when she's wounded or she's unavailable and she can't be on the squad. It just feels uncomfortable. The glove doesn't fit.
Uh-huh.
And
so would you say that Mama Bear is one of your favorite female protagonists?
Oh, absolutely. With the exception that she isn't a protagonist. She's just one of my favorites. There's a whole story there, which I'll probably put in the comments section, but for me, what it comes down to, as a guy, when choosing whether to play a guy or a girl, I usually end up with some sort of preconception about the character, mm-hmm. usually from my own head rather than from marketing materials or talking with friends, and that perception of the character is what determines for me whether I play a male or a female character.
And I find it interesting, because when you're talking about, you know, the male character you mostly identified with, Shepard, like, his role is kind of set. I mean, you make choices, but who Shepard is in the story, he has a set role.
Mm-hmm.
While things like Skyrim or XCOM kind of evolve more organically.
Yeah.
More open-ended.
Yeah, so I think what I want to ask is it different? I don't even mean for choice, but does it feel different when you have a set female character, your Lara Crofts, your Princess Peaches, like, I mean, just a female character versus a generated avatar?
So the difference between do you want to play as Chris or Jill versus creating your character?
Yeah. Well, even just, like, does it feel different when you pick up a game where you know it's a game with a lady in charge? Like, I mean, picking up a Metroid, or picking up a game and then choosing to play as a girl?
I will say, in my own personal experience, I honestly don't think about it because I stopped caring.
Yeah.
In terms of what the gender of the protagonist was more, I'm more interested in their character and the game itself and whether it's fun. But I will admit, you know, when I was younger, when I was a little kid, I did care because there's the whole, you know, that's a game for girls, or there's a girl in that game, and it was just based on the fact that I'm not a girl, so something about that felt like I shouldn't be playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not that's based on, you know, own internal preconceptions or, you know, roles that were kind of imprinted upon me by society around me, my family and culture, I couldn't say. but when I was first really, you know, thinking about it, because video games are so immersive,
mm-hmm.
and they're really about putting yourself into that experience, and I know we just had this conversation on our last episode, which is about simulators, but for me, at least growing up, I was always, well, I'm a boy. And I've always felt comfortable with my gender, I'll admit it. So I was like, well, and if the main character of a game was a girl, I wouldn't feel like that was bad. Don't get me wrong. I'd be like, no, that's a stupid game. Or like I never felt like it was wrong. I just felt like I'm a boy, so I prefer to play a game with a boy in it. And over time, I learned that really doesn't really make much of a difference at all.
Yeah.
Well,
with the games you play. But I think I did start at a place where that was my thought process.
Actually, Grant and I played a lot of Diablo with our friend Adil. And Adil was playing... What class
monk.
Was he? Yeah, he was a monk. He was just...
The monk, which inexplicably has a very thick Russian accent.
Yeah, the thick...
He's a Russian monk.
Yeah, she's a Russian monk. And he played a woman monk. And I think... I mean, I might be remembering wrong, and correct me. But I think when I asked him about it, he was like, well... And what other guys I've heard say is, well, you're kind of... When you're playing a video game, you're experiencing someone else's world... Like, why be a guy? I already know what it's like to be a guy.
Right, you get to experiment.
Well, I think for me, I kind of fall in the same boat of, like, if it's something where the choice does not affect... See, I'm the kind of person where I play to optimize almost all the time. So if it's the kind of thing where it doesn't affect mechanics at all, I'll usually go more the Jeff route of, like, well, how do I envision the character? And usually, I'll play as a male character just because I'm a man, I'll play as a male character. Most of the time that I find myself consistently choosing to play as a female character is usually in situations where the actual way that the game plays out and in terms of gameplay and style of the game are different as a result. I name drop Resident Evil. You can choose to play in the first two Resident Evil games, you can choose to play as either the male or female protagonist. In both cases, I prefer playing as the female protagonist because in the first Resident Evil, Jill starts out with a gun and Chris doesn't.
Well, there you go.
Like,
that does make things easier.
If I'm remembering right, I might be remembering wrong. And in Resident Evil 2, the story actually plays out differently based on who you play as, and Claire's story is more interesting than Leon's. Because Claire's story actually, like, is about, like, her protecting Sherry, and you get an interesting dynamic going on there, whereas Leon's is, like, the usual, oh, I'm in love with this mysterious woman, but she's obviously evil, but I'm too stupid to do anything about it.
If only I knew I was so stupid.
If only I knew I was so stupid.
That
sounds
like Leon.
Yeah, it does sound like Leon.
I've only played Resident Evil 4, and
well,
that sounds like Leon.
It's Ada.
Yeah.
Like, that's where
yeah.
he meets
oh,
Ada.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then and also, like, in fighting games, I find myself tending to gravitate towards female characters in fighting games. In Soul Calibur 2, I played Taki. In Marvel, I generally run X-23 on point. Like, in MKX, I play Tanya. And that's mostly because way back in Street Fighter 2, Chun-Li set the standard that women are the fast, light attacking types, and I like that playstyle.
Same for me. I tend to gravitate towards male characters in a lot of situations because I like the slow, beefy, beat-the-shit-out-of-people kind of playstyle. I play the tanks in fighting games. My favorite character, Mama Bear, can take a beating and dish one out, and she does not move fast. So I tend to gravitate towards what's more perceived by game developers as a male fighting style, just because that's what I like. I like the slow, take a beating, dish it out.
Well, and it's funny because, I mean, I'm more like Rand. I do like the faster character. I play Catwoman in Infamous, but
Injustice.
They're both about superheroes. No,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, all, I'll give you that.
But they're so different. It's okay, Jessica. But the funny thing is, I don't just do it as these are the light characters. I do actually, just even since I was a kid, and I think it's because I did it as a kid, thought this is a chance where I have like 7 different girls to choose between who are all a little bit different. Even though they fight the same general way, they're a little bit different. So I have 7 choices where I can still be a lady. Like,
I know what you mean. Literally every fighting game I've ever played, the first thing I do is look through
all the girls,
the women character, like, and then eventually I'll end up landing on something like Hawkeye or Green Arrow because I tend to like these, you know, light hit from afar types. But,
Well, and I think the one exception for me is Smash. For a while, I played as Kirby because who does your girlfriend play as and why is
Kirby.
It Kirby? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Toon Link.
Yeah.
Seriously!
Oh, yeah, no.
Line hits
but
from
even
afar.
Then, like, the guy I play as is pink and a fluffy ball, and everyone thinks he's a girl, so it doesn't really count.
Everyone calls mine Zelda.
Yeah. But, I mean, in literally every other game, including Smash 4, I play as my main character is female because I just want to play as a girl.
Yeah. No, I definitely, like, when it comes, so, generally speaking, when I have the choice, I'm gonna go with female because it's so rare. Like, it is so rare to be able to play as a girl. Back to forever ago, like,
I still get that tiny little thrill. Like, it's not what I felt with Crystal, but it's still this one
is
like, a girl.
I can play as a girl. I mean, like,
well, and you say forever ago, but it wasn't that long ago. When did the first Fable come out? I mean,
well, the first Fable,
it was original Xbox, which in terms of the video game industry was a long time ago.
It was early
2000s. It was over a decade ago that the first Fable came out, and Fable 2 was a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm
still, technically speaking, that's not that long ago.
I'm not just talking that, though. I mean, like, I'm talking going to people's houses and, like, playing Mario Kart and, like, getting excited to play as Peach because she had a pretty pink dress.
Or even more, playing as Daisy because she was a girl and not Peach.
That's true. You always... but see, I had a cousin who always played as Daisy, so I had to play as Peach.
As an aside, Fable 2 was released in 2008.
Yeah, so that's 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Well,
wow, really?
So in the grand scheme of things, it's actually a relatively new advent that, like, I mean, it's still obviously, we could go along the list of the rack of games behind us and list, like, brunettes, doubly white guy, brunettes, doubly white guy, brunettes, doubly white guy, but
Dan
in
Central.
General...
Dan Central,
brunettes, doubly white guy. But in general, I mean, there are way more options to play as female characters now than there were even 8 years ago, and it's still nowhere near where it should be, but it's interesting that as short as 8 years ago, it was almost unheard of, and now it's still a problem, but it's becoming more popular.
Although I will name one female protagonist who I wasn't quite as excited about. I do not get excited about Ms. Pac-Man.
I know, I always just like, oh, fuck Ms. Pac-Man. Like, I don't know why. It's like, well, characters like Ms. Pac-Man, where it was obviously, I mean, Ms. Pac-Man is just Pac-Man, they just slapped a pink bow on the head,
yeah,
right? And then said, Ms. Pac-Man.
And lipstick.
Pisses me off.
Yes.
It pisses me off, because it's like, you didn't try.
And that's still happening, we were just talking about, that's still happening today with Linkle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Linkle.
Well, and the funny thing is, I don't care if it doesn't matter that she's female. Like, if you just take a game with a where it's a male protagonist and it doesn't matter that they're male and slap a lady on in his place. I don't care.
That's cool.
I do care when instead of putting in a female character, you slap lipstick on a male character.
Yeah.
And that's what Linkle is.
Yeah, Linkle is literally, we got tired of people calling Link Zelda, so we're gonna say Linkle.
The most stupid.
Lady Link.
Lady Link. Linkle is probably the worst name I've heard for a girl since Renesmee.
Well, and the thing is that... But I mean, I think it's funny coming from Zelda, because it's not like it's a game where they can't think of cool female characters. I mean, let's just look. There's Zelda, and to look at Zelda's alter egos, even, Sheik's pretty cool. Tetra's pretty awesome.
Tetra's awesome.
She's
so
a pirate!
Cool.
Like, how can you not love, like, a pirate who teaches you how to be a pirate?
And, like, depending on the Zelda, like, Twilight Princess Zelda is pretty badass in her own right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because she doesn't take any crap
well,
from anybody.
And
similarly,
the...
Midna.
Also
yeah,
badass.
Yeah, actually, all the goddesses.
Impa.
Because, I mean, even though they get kidnapped, what's her name? Starts with a D. Din. Even though she does get kidnapped pretty early on in the game, I loved her.
Yeah, no, she was great.
So, I think that really the problem is, it's not just when you slap a woman in, it's when you say, here, we gave you a woman version of a man, it's just as good.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get a character. What you get is
a dude in drag.
Yeah, it's like, we do not care enough to think for 5 minutes of what a girl looks like.
Yeah.
Have Linkle.
Or at least, they also introduce a female character, a playable character, which feels empty.
Mm-hmm.
In that, this doesn't really feel like a character, this feels like a skin.
Yeah, no, it's like, I just made the comment, it's like you put a dude in drag, but actually, a dude in drag as a character, if you were to build the full character, I would find that fascinating, and I would play the shit out of a drag queen, right?
Well, like, the whole point
was,
is,
there was a character in Guilty Gear, can't remember the name, but there was a character in Guilty Gear who was a dude in drag.
Yeah, no, I would love that.
Or in Poison from Street Fighter, also a dude in drag. Lots of dudes in drag in fighting games.
Huh.
Also Birdo.
Okay, dudes in drag.
Actually,
I got it.
I think Birdo might be
Birdo's
trans.
Birdo's a male?
Yeah, Birdo's a man.
What?
If you read the Japanese text, it says something that...
Like, Birdo's a man, but prefers to dress as a woman. It said in the Japanese manual from Super Mario 2.
I forget if it says that he dresses as a woman, or he thinks of himself as a woman, but is a man. So it's not necessarily the most progressive way to describe
it. It wasn't the most progressive way to describe it on account of it being the 90s. But
actually, as a side note, there was one of the Super Mario games had a character which was a trans ghost.
Really?
And her whole story arc was that her family had sort of disowned her.
Mario.
I think she started as a he. She was a trans character, but then they're like, you know,
in the Japanese version,
it's weird that they had, like, in Japan it worked, but in, they're like, maybe the United States, they're not ready for that, so they took it out when they released it in the US version.
That was Thousand Year Door.
Huh.
US and, I imagine, European version. But, but what I was going to say is, when you kind of break down characters in video games in general, if you know, try and not to oversimplify it, but I'm going to oversimplify it, there's kind of like two ways you can go about characters, like playable characters in video games. Either the ones where you try and build it yourself, or you're given a pre-constructed character.
Yeah.
In either instance, it kind of needs to feel like there is some kind of foundation there for who they are, their personality, their background, you know, their likes and dislikes, their beliefs. Or, you know, on the opposite side, they're a blank slate, but there's the potential for it, and there's the room for it, for you to place it in. There's the blank to fill. It's kind of what you guys were saying about how when you started Skyrim, you saw the compelling character of this story as the... do you know what race she was, or she ignored?
Breton, I think.
Breton, okay.
Yeah.
Was the brave Breton woman who was, you know, the dragonborn.
Yeah.
Technically, you had nothing to work off of, except for the world and the lore, and that was it.
Yeah.
But in your head, what you felt was compelling was this Breton warrior woman. She was the character of the story. Mm-hmm. Even though what you were given was a blank template.
Yeah.
What's frustrating, based on what you guys are saying, is when this kind of like, it's kind of like a cart before the horse sort of thing, where it's like, we would like to see, you know, some kind of female representation here, because we feel like that's something that isn't here that needs to be. And they're like, well, here is just empty husk, but is female, see? And we slap lipstick on it, and a beauty mark, and a bow.
There you go.
And then because that's just not satisfying, because it's fake. You can kind of tell that, you know, you just gave me a female character. That's not, it's just a shell.
There, it has a second
not to reference
chromosome.
Shell. Shell was a good female character.
Shell
was a great female character. I think it's interesting, because there's that, but you can also totally swerve, you can overcorrect and swerve way to the other end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm specifically thinking, actually, to go back to BioWare, I'm thinking of KOTOR 2.
Mm-hmm.
In general, KOTOR 2, like most BioWare games, did a fine job of it. What I particularly, I didn't notice this because I played as a male character, but when you play, Paige, when you played as a female character, when you were talking to Aton entire time in the opening area, what was Aton doing?
Oh, he was looking at my boobs.
Yeah, like when you...
like the whole, like, you had a dialogue option. He is tied up. You are saving him. And he's staring at your breasts the entire time. Like, he's... I mean, and he's supposed to be kind of a cad. But, like, when you were playing...
Yeah. Well, the beginning of the game, you don't... Like, you wake up in your skivvies. So, like, you're technically not... You're technically somewhat scantily clad. And I remember playing as a male character. At first, Aton did not make any mention of it. I think he may have said something of, like, oh, hi. Like, obviously not expecting somebody who is sort of half-dressed to walk in and save you. But it wasn't until you pick up the first armor he made some crack about, like, oh, cool, I was getting a little tired of that whole half-naked Jedi routine. And it was like, ba-dum-psh, whatever. But then playing as a female character, they make this point of, like, oh, you're playing as a female character? Well, then obviously he's going to be ogling your boobs the entire time. And it's like, I feel like there's a middle ground.
I kind of just wanted to leave him there. Like, if they had let me, I would have left him there.
Kind of like you can with Liara.
Yeah, you can leave Liara until the very end of the game, and then she's hungry and thinks you're a hallucination.
Can I look at another pitfall of female characters?
Sure.
Go for it.
Because we talked about fighting games earlier.
Are you talking about Skullgirls?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to talk about Skullgirls specifically, although I definitely
can. Well, I was going to say, we should definitely talk about Skullgirls.
But, like,
sorry.
But actually, Skullgirls is a good example, because when I'm going through the girls, even though I have a ton of female options... usually one or two make me feel too awkward to play as them. Like, Taki. I love Taki, and she's got a great metal outfit. She's also got one which is, like, a bodysuit where apparently they're keeping the room at, like, 32 degrees because you can see her nipples the entire time, because obviously that is the best way to fight with your, like, breasts jiggling up and down and your nipples showing very much.
Oh, fighting games in general are just... they've always been horrendously offensive in terms of, like... oh, God, it makes no sense what they're wearing.
No,
right?
That's
like,
what makes me mad.
I will say, actually, MKX,
very
surprisingly good.
Good.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that as being battle appropriate. Well, a couple of caveats. But
in
overall,
general, the genre has been moving more towards that direction.
Unless you're Street Fighter V.
Unless you're, actually, I haven't seen Street Fighter V. Is Street Fighter V really bad about it?
Well, their new female characters...
Their DLC characters are a little better, but like some of the new ones that they've introduced this... oh, man.
Yeah, I honestly
you know,
haven't
Street
really
Street Fighter's
it.
Always had its issues with objectification of female characters, you know, not to not say that, but their newer characters seem like... it seems like they went particularly cater to the people who want sexy characters with Street Fighter V.
Well, and the thing is...
are you sure you're not thinking of Soul Calibur?
No, it's definitely...
I have to give Street Fighter V. Soul Calibur's another good point.
Well, okay.
Soul Calibur, Dead or Alive.
Well, but the thing
Dead
is...
Dead or Alive, the whole point...
actually,
is it even a valid fighting game at this point?
No.
Granny's shaking his head.
But the thing is, actually, I want to bring up the point of what Jessica said. I'm not saying that women cannot dress in a less than modest manner in fighting games, because some women choose to dress in less than modest ways. But what Jessica said is huge. They do not dress in a logical way, because that shows off that whoever's designing that character has never been a girl moving in that kind of clothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, like... don't get me wrong. I actually would totally be down with some of the outfits I've seen for, like, the sexy outfit stuff, because I like those sorts of outfits.
They're awesome.
They're really cool looking. But they don't make sense to me. I'm like, your boobs are gonna, like, fall out, and then you're just gonna be flashing the dude, which I guess if that works to, like, somehow stun him... then cool, but, like, work that in.
Like, it looks like a one-time move.
Yeah.
You gotta go for the kill after that, because otherwise you're
just
exposed.
Like, you gotta do the Deadpool thing where everybody stops and, like, oh, I am so sorry. Like, and she's, you know, gotta take a moment to readjust, because come on. Like, seriously?
Well, and
these little, like,
MK9
ropes.
With Sonya, where she's, like, supposed to be a police officer, special forces on assignment,
oh, yeah,
and she's got the vest with the huge side boob, like... you're in uniform right now.
Well, and the thing is that, like...
some of them
I mean,
uniform.
Yes, if we were going super logically, then every woman would just be in a sports bra and shorts, and that's what they're fitting in, and that's not what
I'm saying. Yeah, no.
But
that's what the UFC is for.
Yeah, but I mean, Grant brought up Skullgirls. Skullgirls. Grant, tell me all the great things about Skullgirls.
Skullgirls is, on the whole, an amazing game. It is incredibly tight mechanically. The developers are really listen to the community and are really good about adding all this, you know, keeping in mind what actual hardcore fighting game fans want. The art is fantastic. Gorgeous.
It really is.
The story is
animated. It's a really interesting universe with this cool aesthetic. All really well done. It's also sexist as hell.
Yeah, no, it makes me uncomfortable playing it. Like,
the character I like most to play just based on her playstyle is a character named Valentine.
I like how he has to slip that in.
Normally, I don't feel the need to justify myself like that, but based on her playstyle, I feel the need to justify because her name is Valentine. She legitimately is dressed like a sexy nurse. She has E-cup breasts. I know that because in the bio section of the video game, alongside things like name, country of origin, hair color, and
cup
all that
size.
Stuff, they list measurements. Not just cup size, measurements.
Oh, okay.
Along with cup size. So I know she has E-cup breasts. Sexy nurse outfit with, like, the mini skirt thing going on and everything. And when she wins a match, one of her victory poses is she bends down, pulls out a thermometer, sticks it between her boobs, and then it heats up until it explodes.
Yeah.
In a somewhat ejaculate manner.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen this.
Everyone's seen it.
I remember watching that in college.
I was playing it, I was like, oh, Lord.
That didn't go over my head.
Parasol. Parasol is a princess, I want to say.
She's a queen.
Yeah, she's a queen. And she is a high-ranking officer in a military organization. She leads a group called the Black Egrets. So she is powerful. She also has the whole cool, like, James Bond spy girl thing going on where she's wearing a sweater, like a sweater dress with a mini skirt. She also has her panties shown off every time she does a high kick.
Yeah, most of her kick attacks, yeah, she high kicks and is like, panty shot, panty shot, panty shot.
And the thing is, if you look through the female characters, even the DLC characters that people were allowed to vote on as bonus characters for their Kickstarter, 99%, there are a couple that aren't. But most of them were sexualized, and sometimes in a non-logical way. There's one character who has her shirt is about at, it just cuts off at the breast level, and then she has the shoulders coming off. So there is no way, and she has large breasts, there is no way that it would stay up for 5 seconds while she's walking.
That's not even DLC, that's one of their headline
characters.
That's
one of their headlines. Sorry.
That's Sarabella, she's like their mascot character, and she's a grappler.
Yeah.
So while she's spinning around judo throwing and grappling people, she's got her gigantic boobs flopping around.
Yeah, they're
so
half out.
Here's kind of the funny thing, is like, for me, I actually don't even mind when a lot of characters are being sexualized. I just would like that the... Can we sexualize the men a little bit? Go watch some Boylesque and just, like, mimic that. I'm not even kidding. Like, get him in, like, a little bit of sparkly
or
glitter,
Magic Mike.
Right?
You can make it work.
Magic Mike it. Yeah. Oh, my God. I would love that. Because even if just because then it's like we're all admitting to the fact that, yes, we're playing a sex game. Right? Like, it's a sexy fighting game. Let's go for it.
People sometimes point to, like, there are a lot of shirtless men in fighting games, but it's not the same.
No, because here's the thing. Most, like, legitimate fights. Have you ever seen a UFC fight by two dudes wearing shirts? It's just more practical to be shirtless.
Well, but also, like, that just points to it. I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily ask for more sexy men, although it is odd that Skullgirls has no next sexy men, but the thing is that the men's outfits that are pointed to as more sexualized are more logical.
Exactly.
All I want is,
like,
logic.
If you can make it, like, make the women's stuff more logical or give me more illogical, like, sexy men stuff, I'm actually cool. Either way, just, like, make it even across the board. Because, like, either I want it to be, we all admit that this is a sex game that is just got really good fighting mechanics, or whatever it is, right? We're going for it. Or, give me some logic, and give me variety. Like, it just, I want more, right? Like, give me some more.
Well, it's kind of like what we go back to, I'm sorry to interrupt
you,
Paige, but it's kind of back to what I was saying before about how there's a difference between a blank slate character and a character that comes, you know, pre-completed with a background and personality, versus getting something that is like a shell or empty. I think the whole point there is, again, you probably actually said it better. I think you're right. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense.
I think that that's something that's interesting, because it's illogical because a woman wasn't necessarily involved in the process. Because I feel like if there was a woman somewhere in the process, she would say, you know, that looks great, but that doesn't make sense. Here, let me draw you a version of it that makes sense.
Or, we'll put it in a better way, there wasn't a woman somewhere in the process that was listened to, right? Because I know on many of these, on many of these projects, they actually do have a lot of women working on it. I wonder how often those opinions get shot down, right? Or if you never feel okay saying something about it, right? Or maybe we're totally wrong, and the women working on these projects are actually like, yeah, throw some more tits on that bitch. Give her, like, 12.
But, I mean, even then, that would make sense for it to be illogical, because she hasn't had to deal with 8, so she doesn't know what that feels like.
Yeah, right?
Well, in that case, I think we're crossing over to the realm of absurdity, where liberties can be taken.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, where it's... I don't really know what the process is like, but I have a very strong suspicion that it's a very male-dominated culture in video game development, regardless of what genre you're talking about. I very much suspect that within the fighting game realm, there's even fewer women on the development staff, so it's like, if you are that woman, are you going to be heard?
Well, I think it's interesting, though, because I'll cross back on what I said. It doesn't necessarily matter if there's a woman on the development staff. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the game Temple Run. It's a mobile game that basically you play as Indiana Jones, but you play as a guy named Guy. 60% of this game's playership is female, and the game was written by a husband-wife team. So, ladies are present. But a 12-year-old was playing this, a 12-year-old girl, and she realized that the only female characters available were DLC. You had to pay extra to be able to play as a girl. She sent a letter, and then she decided to do science. So she looked through the entire app store, and she looked through for how many have a...
Which I suppose score for female empowerment in schools, because science to write a piece to newspaper...
Yeah,
just saying.
Statistics, yay. STEM. But she looked through and she found that 92% of mobile games have a character of identifiable gender, so it's not just like a blob. Of those games, in 90% of them had free male characters, only 46% of them had any female characters, and only 15% of those games in the top, you know, mobile games on iTunes or whatever had a free female character. And she sent a letter to the... She sent it into the Washington Post. She sent a letter to the developers. And the developers' mindset was, hey, people want to play as girls. They'll be willing to pay for it. We can get a little extra money. But when a girl put it that way, they were like, oh, crap. And they were they were deeply embarrassed. And they decided to put out not only a free female character, but they put out a DLC character named after the girl who sent in her letter.
That free character available to everyone, by the way.
Yeah.
There was a bit of confusion earlier.
I was the confused one.
But I think it's interesting that just, like, even when you had women in the development process with a female audience, they won't necessarily think that there's anything weird playing, only getting the choice to play as a guy for free, because most people are doing it. Like, 15% of games offered free female characters, which meant 85 didn't.
That was actually... That leads into something that I was kind of thinking about, is I was just kind of wondering to myself, I wonder how much of these decisions that get made in terms of how few females there are that appear in video games or how they're represented, or how much, you know, design choice goes into those female characters, whether it's they're objectified or whether they're just, there's not much thought put into them whatsoever. How much of that is, like, is it catering to the what they assume is the demographic who wants to see that, or is it, like, the artist's choice, like, are the game creators... do they just see this as, like, being a part of their vision? Where does it, like, is it more this or that? But then based on what you're saying is that at some point it's just kind of become the norm in the industry. So do they just kind of shapes their design of it, I guess?
One game that I kind of wanted to talk about at some point was actually the Left 4 Dead series. And here's why. Like, I love that series. It's fantastic. Both Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 have one female character, whose names I am completely blanking out
Zoe
on.
Zoe and Rochelle.
Thank you. I don't know why I blanked out. I wanted to say Ellie, and I'm like, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
No, but yeah, Zoe and Rochelle. And the concept there is that it was being built as, like, your classic zombie survival movie, where there's usually, in the first game, right, you have your standard black guy, your girl, and then you have, like, the old vet who knows how to get shit done, And then you have just your generic white dude who will beat shit up.
He's a rebel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And under that context, I understand where they were coming from, and that's pretty cool, right? Even so, though, we've got four characters, one of them's a female. But I'm not sure if that's...
It's the chick.
It's the chick. It was one of those game series that I really liked, but I was a little bothered that the women were just so boring. Like, even though I did think Rochelle was slightly more interesting, the fact that you disagree with me, and frankly, they're both bland as fuck, right? Like,
I'll give you that. They are both.
They're both bland as missionary.
Which kind of tofu is better? Okay, so actually, this conversation has been great, and it was even greater than we expected. For you listeners out there, we actually got 2 hours worth of content instead of our usual 1.5. So we've decided to split this into a two-parter. We're going to be coming out with the second part soon, and we hope you guys will enjoy that as well. I'm Paige.
I'm Jessica.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Grant.
And I'm Connor.
And this has been Volcano Bake Meat. Thanks for joining us, and join us for part two.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and check out our official blog at volcanobakemeat.wordpress.com. If you like the Volcano Bake Meat podcast, let us know by rating us on iTunes and Stitcher.com. It helps us out a lot, and we appreciate it. Thanks.